Stem cell science is changing medicine and our understanding of human development. Learn more with the Stem Cell Channel. Visit uctv.tv/stemcell.
Welcome everyone to A Closer Look, where today we're going to take a closer look at stem cells and human longevity. I'm Robert Signer. I'm an associate professor in the Division of Regenerative Medicine and the deputy director of the Sanford Stem Cell Discovery Center, which is part of the Sanford Stem Cell Institute here at UC San Diego. And I'm here today to take you on an adventure. Now, our adventure is to discover what many of us before have been looking for. This goes from ancient kings to great explorers to prolific minds of the Enlightenment to fictional action heroes and to billionaire tech bros. We are looking for the fountain of youth and the elixir of life. But our adventure won't involve circumnavigating the globe. It won't involve bathing in magic waters or trekking through booby-trapped jungles. No, our adventure is going to be right here. Because in each and every one of us, deep inside our bones, hidden within the inner workings of our stem cells, I believe, is the fountain of youth. Now, before we set off on this adventure, let's talk about the mission of this adventure. Now, when we're looking for the fountain of youth, well, sure, we all want to live to put more candles on that birthday cake. But I think what we really want is to be sure that we have the health, the strength, and the gusto to blow out all those candles along the way. And so our mission is to extend human health span. Now, I'm sure you all know what lifespan is, but for some of you, I'm guessing that health span might be a new term. So I want you to think of health span as the time that we live free of major diseases. That is, the time in which our lives in which we're healthy. Now, lifespan is easy to quantify. In the United States, expected lifespan is about 79 years. Health span, however, is a little harder to put a number to, but people have been trying. Now, one recent study looked at the incidence and average onset of all major diseases, and they estimated that health span in the United States is about 63 years. When I heard that, two things jumped out at me. One, 63 is not very old. Two, we're living about 16 years on average, or nearly 20% of our life after we've developed a major disease. So what's our mission? Well, it's not only to extend lifespan, but it's really about extending health span. We want to compress the period of our lives that are marked by morbidity so that we are living longer, healthier lives. So how do we do this? Well, let's first consider the diseases that are restricting our health span. There are four diseases, often referred to as the four horsemen of human disease, that are really the major drivers of morbidity as we age. These include cancer, cardiovascular disease, neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, and metabolic diseases like diabetes. And these four horsemen, well, they have one thing in common, and that is that the number one risk factor for all of these classes of diseases is aging. And I have to deliver some bad news. These aren't the only diseases. Lung disease, arthritis, osteoporosis, cataracts, hearing loss, back and neck pain, depression, and outcomes from COVID-19. Every single one of them, the leading cause is aging. And the incidence of all of these diseases doesn't just go up with age, it goes up exponentially as we get older. In fact, by the time we turn just 28 years old, aging is the number one risk factor for disease and death. And so what do we do about it? What do scientists and physicians, what do they do? What's the approach? Well, the approach has always been, if these diseases are causing the problem,
we have to treat or prevent these diseases. And so we've done this in a very disease-focused way. We have research that focuses on cancer. We have research that focuses on Alzheimer's disease. We have research that focuses on cardiovascular disease and diabetes. But I think it's time for us to change this paradigm. If we can understand and treat the main cause of these diseases, that is, we can treat aging, well, maybe we have the opportunity to prevent multiple age-related diseases. And I believe that the key to doing this lies in stem cells. So what are stem cells? Well, stem cells that I'm going to be talking about today are very rare cells that exist in each and every one of us in various tissues. And stem cells have two superpowers. The superpower number one is that stem cells have the ability to what we call self-renew. That is, they can make more of themselves and replenish our stem cells throughout our life. Superpower number two for stem cells is they have the ability to what we call differentiate. That is, they are a blank slate and they can produce all of the different types of specialized cells that exist within a given tissue. Now, the major type of stem cell that I'm going to be talking about today and that we work on in my laboratory are called hematopoietic stem cells. These are blood-forming stem cells that live in our bone marrow. Now, these stem cells, as I said, contain this superpower of self-renewal, and they differentiate to give rise to all of our different types of blood cells. This includes things like red blood cells and platelets, but also all of the white blood cells of our immune system. The problem is that as we age, those stem cell superpowers start to wane. And this happens in a few different ways. The first affects the power of self-renewal. Sometimes stem cells lose their ability to self-renew. As we age, this leads to a loss of stem cells and ultimately a loss of their ability to produce all of these other types of blood cells. Now, in the blood, this can lead to disorders like anemia, clotting deficiencies, and immune dysfunction. Now, the opposite of this can happen too. Stem cells can lose control of their ability to self-renew, or other cells learn to hijack stem cell self-renewal activity. When this happens, we lose control of our growth of those cells, they overgrow, and this drives the development of cancer. But it's not just self-renewal that goes awry with aging, it's also differentiation. So normally, these stem cells differentiate in a very balanced manner to produce the right number of each kind of cell that we need in our body. As we age, our blood-forming stem cells lose this balance. What happens is that they start to overproduce a certain type of white blood cell called myeloid cells. These are inflammatory cells that can drive things like chronic inflammation and inflammatory disease. And they stop producing lymphoid cells. Lymphoid cells are the ones that are really there to fight infection. And so, as we get older, our ability to fight infection goes down, and we suffer from chronic inflammation and inflammatory diseases. And so this is why I believe that studying blood-forming stem cells in particular is really important, because it's not only impacting diseases of the blood, but it's impacting all sorts of other diseases because of its role in the immune system and in inflammation. So that defects in blood-forming stem cells affect our health from our knees to our hearts to our brains and everything in between. Now, what causes stem cells to age? Well, in general, I think we know that aging is connected with stress. We can see it on the outside. We can feel it on the inside. And stem cells also age because of stress. But how does a stem cell experience stress? What does stress mean at the cellular and molecular level? This is where the work in my lab is making key breakthroughs, where we've been the first to discover that aging is happening through stress on proteins within our stem cells. So before we dive into that, let's take a step back and make sure we all understand exactly what a protein is. Proteins are the functional products of genes. What does that mean? Well, we know we've all heard of DNA. We have lots of it packed into all of our cells that encodes about 20,000 different genes. Each of those genes is the instructions for how to build a protein. So that DNA is converted into what's called mRNA, and that mRNA is the blueprint for building a protein. A protein is what actually does something in the cell. It is the functional product. It is doing things. So let me explain this a little more, and let me give you an analogy. The proteins are like apps on your phone, right? Somewhere, someone has written a bunch of computer code that is buried within your phone. Think of that as the DNA. Now, that has to be interpreted by the machine and stored, and that's really just a bunch of zeros and ones. Think of that as the mRNA. But when it converts it to something tangible, something that you can use, like the apps on your phone that you open all the time, that you use to complete different tasks, well, those are the proteins. And the process of making proteins is so fundamentally important to life that for decades, we've believed that it must be happening the same way in every type of cell. Except what we've discovered is that stem cells manage this process of protein production completely differently than other kinds of cells. What we found about 10 years ago now is that stem cells make proteins unusually slowly. Stem cells are the proverbial tortoise. They believe that slow and steady wins the race. And like the tortoise, stem cells are long-lived. Other cells, well, they make protein fast, and they are the proverbial hare. They live fast and die young. Now, why do stem cells need to make proteins so slowly? Well, it turns out by making proteins slowly, they're making it more accurately. They're making fewer errors. So you can think of when you're making protein very quickly, you're going to start to put them together in ways that aren't always the best. And when that happens, what we call this is sort of protein misfolding. And these misfolded proteins, you can really think of as the trash of a cell. The cell doesn't want these. Why? One, they don't work the way that they're supposed to work. Two, if you make all this trash, it starts to pile up. And that can start to affect all sorts of other processes in the cell. And so stem cells really care about this. They do not want trash to pile up. They are in it for the long haul. Now, this process is so important that stem cells don't only count on making less mistakes when they make protein, they also have a completely different plan to deal with those mistakes and get rid of those bad proteins or protein trash. So stem cells take that protein trash, which is shown here in red, and they try to consolidate it in one area of the cell. And then what they do is they build a cage around it. That's shown in green. But this sort of cage of protein trash isn't just a protein landfill in the stem cells. Turns out it's actually a recycling plant. Stem cells preferentially use a very specialized recycling pathway to break down and reuse all of those resources. Because remember, stem cells need to care about sustainability. They are in it for the long haul. Now, what happens when we age? Well, these systems start to fall apart. And this protein trash starts to accumulate and pile up in our aging stem cells. This stresses out our stem cells and makes them start to malfunction as we get older. But there's some good news. The stem cells, they don't go down without a fight. They sound the alarm and they call in reinforcements. Meet Heat Shock Factor 1, or HSF1, which I think of as a superhero protein that gets called into action in stressed and aging stem cells. And you can see it enter the nucleus of the cell where it interacts with the DNA, and it launches a program to help reduce protein trash and to help stem cells cope with this accumulation of these misfolded proteins. So here's what happens, right? We have young stem cells that do a good job at keeping this protein trash at bay. Those stem cells have lots of energy and lots of potential to regenerate our tissues for a long period of time. As we age, that protein trash builds up in those stem cells and their power is lost. But our aging stem cells call in the reinforcements, they activate this HSF1 superhero, and they're able to partially reduce the amount of trash that's building up and maintain more of this regenerative potential. So is this the answer? Do we just need to supercharge HSF1 and now we can reverse the effects of aging? Well, I hate to break it to you, but there's a catch. Stem cells aren't the only cells that like HSF1. Cancer cells really like HSF1. What we found is that HSF1 boosts the expansion of precancerous stem cells and supports the development of cancer as we get older. This is the ultimate catch-22. Stem cells are fighting the forces of aging to stay fit and keep regenerating our tissues. But to do that, they have to elevate our risk of getting cancer. The stem cells are literally robbing Peter to pay Paul. What I've realized is that the answer is right in front of us. The blueprint for the Fountain of Youth is already pre-wired into long-lived stem cells. Stem cells know they don't want to have to deal with that trash and that stress, and that they know that calling in reinforcements can only do so much. The stem cells' secret to longevity is preventing the production and pileup of protein trash. And so we're taking that blueprint and we're trying to better it. How do we make stem cells even better at preventing this trash? Well, we've taken all sorts of approaches and we're starting to test it in the lab right now. And the results are amazing. So we have young stem cells. They have their regenerative potential, but eventually exhaust. We have old stem cells that start to accumulate trash. They call in reinforcements. They can partially block the problem, but you know, like we talked about, this can lead to cancer. Well, we've made old super stem cells. These stem cells are even better than normal stem cells at preventing the buildup of trash. They're less stressed out, and they live longer. But it's not just about stem cell fitness, right? Our goal is to prevent disease. Is that something we can really do by keeping our stem cells fit? Well, we're working on this right now, and I've never been more excited about what we're discovering. So let me share one piece of that with you today. This is the spleen from a healthy mouse. What we can do is to introduce a cancer-causing mutation that drives a very aggressive form of blood cancer. Within weeks, you can see the effect on the mouse's spleen. When we do the same thing in our mice that carry these super stem cells, we don't see that cancer coming. And so maybe we have found the fountain of youth. Maybe it really does exist within each of our stem cells and providing us the path forward, that preventing the accumulation of trash is the key to long health and long life. As Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Let me take a moment to thank my really incredible and brilliant team that's been working on all of this research. I'm very fortunate to work with them every single day, as well as our many collaborators, and of course, our sources of funding that support our work. Thank you for listening.